we do have some flowers in the back that we'd want at the end of this for everyone to go ahead and take one. All the moms, if we have enough, we'll let them 18 and over take one. But I think we have 25 or 30 back there, so make sure all the moms get one first. If you don't have your notes, take them out of the middle of your bulletin. And we're going to be looking today at ways to love your mom. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what this day means. We know it's a difficult day for many, but we just do thank you, Lord, for the ladies in our life, whether it was our own mother, or if we lost a mother when we were young, a grandmother, or a Sunday school teacher, the women in church that nurtured us and loved us, and we just want to celebrate them today. So we thank you for this day that's set aside and pray that you'd be glorified in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. The third most celebrated day of the year, behind Christmas and Easter, is Mother's Day. Valentine's Day is pretty close behind, but Mother's Day is special because moms are special. And I don't know if any of you had seen that song or heard that song before. It's the first I saw it this week, and I just thought it was so powerful. But we do realize that this is a very painful day for many. It's not just a day of celebration. I got up and I expected to see some tears after that song, and some people were wiping their eyes. But in the last 5 months, just several of us from this church, including myself, lost our moms. So we know that this is a difficult day. But it's also a painful day for those who have never had a child, who wanted one. I posted that song on Facebook this week, and Linda Wilkerson Wright, and I put how it's a painful day. It's a very difficult day for pastors in many ways to get up and to try and celebrate, but yet try to be aware and sensitive of the people in the congregation. And Linda wrote, she had lost her mom a few years ago, and she has never had a child. She goes, just thank you for being sensitive to those of us who've lost a mom and who've never been a mom. But we understand the pain of the day, but we have a mom. Whether we've lost her or we've had the mother in our life who's built into our lives, we celebrate and honor them today. When we think about moms in Scripture, one of my favorite, obviously, is the mother of Jesus. And just think about the difficult task that she was given to raise the Son of God in a miraculous birth to begin with, and then to watch this child grow. And to think at the very end of life, she stood at the bottom of the cross and she witnessed the crucifixion of her Son. She watched him agonizing and trying to breathe, and literally blood dripping from all the wounds and where the crown of thorns were, and the nails in his hands and feet. Imagine how she must have felt. My dad died almost 35 years ago, and I remember my grandmother saying, when we called and told her that dad had died, she just said, "This isn't natural." She goes, "Children expect to see their parents go as they age, but it's not natural for a mother to watch a child die." So that's what Mary was going through as she stood up watching Jesus. But I want you to remember what Jesus did. Jesus looked down as he hung on the cross, and he looked at John and he said, "I want you to take care of Mary. Treat her like your mom." And then he looked at Mary and he said, "Let John be the son to you that I can no longer be." So to think of Jesus, this Son of God, as he's wearing the sins of the world on his shoulders as the perfect Son of God, he is dealing with eternal matters as he carries our sin to death. But as a man, he's still concerned about his mom. And he gives us some ways, or showed us some way of how to love our mom. And we're going to ask that this morning. 7 ways that we're going to look at of how we can love her mom, love our mom. So number one is tell her. Tell her. Men, for some reason, have a difficult time communicating our emotions. You let us talk about whether it's the NFL draft last weekend, we can tell you what team we think did well, what teams didn't. Talk about fishing or hunting or cars or anything about sports or movie that we liked. Gardening, you know, ask us about, talk to the Simmons, they'll tell you everything you need to know about keeping everything green and keeping it growing. But you ask us to express our feelings. Russ, how do you feel about this? Or Spencer, what are your feelings when you watch that movie? We're just going to clam up. We have no idea of how to respond to that. We don't know what to say when it comes to expressing our feelings. And the old joke was, I told my wife the day I married her that I loved her. If it ever changes, I'll let her know. I don't need to tell her I love her, I show her. Well, we need to understand that moms need to hear, I love you. Moms need to hear those words. And you know what, men? Your children need to hear you say that to your spouse, to your wife as well. They need to hear you say that to their mother. I want to read a letter from Dear Abby that kind of illustrates this. I don't know when it was written, but obviously years ago, because he says, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese, and we were rerouted to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did, 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found myself that I could not part with her. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, you don't know how much I love you. And I'd reply, likewise. I never said I love you. Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. Although I wrote her poetry, I could not bring myself to say the three words I know she wanted to hear the most. As my dearest was dying and we thought she was comatose, I told her, there aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you. A few hours later, she whispered, not enough words, and died. The reason I'm writing is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depths of their feelings. And he signed it, Missing Mary in Colorado. Dear Missing Mary, perhaps it's because young boys are taught that it's unmanly to express emotion, which they have interpreted to mean that expressing heartfelt emotion is a sign of weakness. Fortunately, in these liberated times, that philosophy is changing because we now know that expressing one's feelings is healthy for both men and women. We need to tell our wife, our kid's mother, that we love them. And kids, you need to tell your mother how much you love her. Last week in youth group, Dr. Sarah and I always take turns doing the lesson. I did a lesson last week on why do bad things happen to good people. And we had 40 or 45 teens out. And I played that video that I showed a couple of years ago on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, the David Ring video. The man that was born with cerebral palsy was born 18 minutes dead. No oxygen got to his brain, and as a result, he had cerebral palsy. And he was saying in his very slurred speech that I asked the teens if they had a hard time understanding. They said for the first couple minutes, they had to learn how he was speaking and learn to adjust to what he was saying. But David Ring said when he was 14 years old, his mom had surgery on her neck in July, and they called the family all in and told her that she had at most 6 months to live, that she had cancer through her body. And David Ring, very emotionally, just said, from the moment we heard, every night, three or four times a day, but every night I would pray, God, please don't take my mama. God, please don't take my mama. Mama's the only one who loves me. Mama's the only one who cares for me the way I am. He said she died in October. And he asked the question. He said, he talked about John 3:16. And he said, so many people know that verse. And he said, but that verse doesn't make sense to me. He said, if God really loved me, why would he take my dad? Why would he take my mama? Why would he give me this disease? Why is God always picking on me? And he asked that question of why do bad things happen to good people. But he said today, he said, I would love, and this is 54 years later, or 40-some years later, I think he's 58 or something like that now. But he said, I would just love to be able to see my mama one more time. My mom was the only one who could put her arms around me when kids were picking on me at school for the way I walked and talked. Mama could wipe away my tears. And he said, I would love to feel mama's embrace one more time. I would love to hear mama say, I love you, David. And he said, I would love to be able to say, I love you to her. Folks, tell your mom that you love her. Second, touch her. When's the last time, young people, that you hugged your mom without her asking for it? When's the last time you gave her a kiss on the cheek, or you sat down next to her and put your arm around her, or you rubbed her neck, or you held her hand? When was the last time you did that? Do you realize your mom was the first person to ever touch you? For 9 months, before you were born, she carried you. If you come from an adoptive family, I can tell you as an adoptive father that your parents held you in their heart long before they held you in the arms. We had a plaque on all of our kids' walls because all three of our children were adopted. And you probably have heard this, but it says, "Not flesh of my flesh nor bone of my bone, but still miraculously my own. Never forget for a single minute you didn't grow under my heart, but in it." You need to touch your moms. Hold her hand. Let her know you love her. David Ring's testimony was just so powerful that it just reminded me of my own mom, how she would come in and just put her hand on me when I was sick in bed or pretending I was sick in bed. Didn't want to go to school. Not that that happened too often. But they would always be there. And I think, and I remember my mom always kissing my forehead. And I thought she loved me, but now as I'm older, I realize she was probably checking my temperature, making sure I was okay, or not that I was really sick. But she was there. How many of you remember this? I still picture this. I think I washed my hair 100 times remembering this. How many of your mothers went like that, and they see your hair stick out? I'm always licking. Everybody, raise your hand if that happened to you. Okay. That's disgusting. But your moms did that. They loved it. And think about this. They changed your diapers. How many of your moms held a Kleenex in their hand and let you blow your nose into their hand? They touched you. They loved you. They wiped away your tears when you fell and scraped your knee, or when, like David Ring, you came home after a rough day and kids were making fun of you. Maybe you didn't make the ball team. Maybe it was just a difficult day for you. But she's the one who carried you for all that time. How many of you have ever been to a nursing home? You realize people there are just starved for touch. I go pretty often. I try, whether it's I went to see Catherine on Friday, and I didn't get over the lady in the next bed, but I always try to stop by and at least let her know, you know, that I was praying for Catherine. I put my hand on her leg or something. But people are starved for a touch. Now, Cheryl's not here to defend herself, but I'm going to share an incident that really made her very jealous a couple of years ago. She's down with the nursery. I'm joking about this because she laughed about this. But we stopped at my mother-in-law's over at Pinnacle Towers a couple of years ago. And I had to run sing up upstairs to her, so she's up on the third floor. So I parked right in front, ran it up the elevator and stayed for a couple minutes and came back down. And as I got on the elevator, the door opened, and there was a lady who I've seen there before. And she just said, "Hi, how you doing?" And I talked to her a little bit and came down. And as the door opened up, she just took my arm. She put her arm in mine. So I'm walking through, and out in the foyer, there were maybe 10 or 12 women sitting out in the lobby as you walked in. And this lady walked with me, and I'm kind of walking with her, wondering what she's doing. And she stopped, and she looked at the ladies, and she goes, "Look what I found on the elevator." And she said, "All I had to do was push a button, and the door opened, and he was there." And one of these other ladies said, "Oh, man, I want one of those." So I went out to the car, and I joked about it, and I said, "You should have seen what just happened." I was laughing about it, and I told him, and Paige said, "What was going on?" I said, these people thought I was hot. And Paige goes, "What's that mean?" And Cheryl, without missing a beat, she goes, "They were just so excited they found a man their own age." Now, I realize you're laughing not at the hurt that I went through. You're laughing because, but it made me realize, these ladies just wanted someone to touch them. Just wanted someone to be there. This lady wasn't wobbly. She wasn't holding on to me for support to get out of the elevator to walk to the lobby. I don't know when's the last time someone had touched her. Someone that she could lean on. But folks, take time to touch your mom today. And realize when you do that, you're touching her heart. Number three. And this is a tough one. Be patient. Be patient. I don't know if you ever grow frustrated with your mom. But I can guarantee you, she gets impatient with you. She grows frustrated with you. When you were young, you grew impatient because she had all these rules, right? All these questions. What time are you going to be home? Who were you with? Who are you going to be with? What are you doing? Where are you going? What is all this? All the questions they had and all the rules that they seemed to make up every time you went out. But as they get older, they tend to get a little bit more forgetful. They tend to get a little bit more dependent on us. And we need to realize that as they grow weaker, we need more patience. We need to be there for them. Her tenderness and her patience with you is not an excuse for us to be impatient and disrespectful toward her. We need to love her. We need to be patient with her. We need to realize all that she did for us and all the patience that she showed in our lives. Dr. Dobson, on his program years ago when he did the Focus on the Family radio, he read a letter from an 80-year-old woman to her children for her upcoming birthday. And I want you to listen to this. She said, "To my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you just to be relaxed. We can talk or we can just be silent. I would like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time it is to take my medication or if I've already taken it. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep just helps the day to pass by. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want." Finally, in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know that his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom." Are you patient with your mom? Are you patient if you're a teenager? Realize she's asking the questions because she loves you. They may get annoying. They may get frustrating. They may seem like there's no end to the rules and to the questions and to her care. But I can tell you, you miss it when it's not there anymore. A mom loves you. Be patient. Be understanding. Let me back up. I just thought of this under the touch one. I know it's the previous point. For the last couple of years of my mom's life, she would always reach out and put her hand on my leg or put her hand on my arm. And for a while, it just seemed like it got kind of annoying because she lived in Delaware, so it was a four-hour trip. And she had a chair in the corner, and my stepfather had a chair in his corner. And I would sit in the couch, and she would always get up and move over to the couch next to me. And when I was talking, she'd put her hand on my leg or her hand on my arm or my hand. And for the first few times, it was kind of like, she never did this when I was a kid. What's she doing this all the time for? And then I realized when she talked, she just wanted to know. When she talked, she would kind of pat my arm. I don't remember if she did it to Spencer. I never asked them that, Spencer or Paige or Cameron. But I realized since she's been gone, thinking about that, you know, she did that because I'm sure she just wanted to make sure that I was there. She wanted me to know that she loved me. So don't be afraid to touch. Number four, be present. Be present. As that letter said, sometimes all your mom wants is for you just to be there. Not to talk, necessarily, but just to be there, to listen. They don't want gifts sent in the mail and a letter three or four times a year. They want you. They want you to be there. You see, mothers spell love the same way kids do. And I've been taught this for years of ministry and certainly as a youth pastor. Children spell love T-I-M-E. And that's the way as your mom's age, and maybe even when your mom doesn't age, maybe as a young mother, she still spells time or love T-I-M-E. She wants your time. I appreciate going to softball games and ball games with the kids, and the young worst and the youngs are there every game because they want to be with their kids. They want to spend time with their children. And that's being present for your mother. Have you ever heard a mother speak about her child? Have you ever heard a mom talk about the one that she's raised? It's been amazing. In the last, was it 6-8 months, we've had a lot of people getting shot and killed. We always think of them as being black men on the street, and most of them have been. That's what's been causing all the racial problems. But if you remember hearing some of the mothers of these guys who have pulled a gun on someone, and some of them, whether they were innocent or not, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that part of the story, but their mothers talking about these guys who maybe pulled a gun on a cop, or the guy who was walking down the street shooting the shotgun, and the cop ran into him just a couple weeks ago, just rammed him with his police car. They hear the mothers talk about these particular individuals, and it's glowing terms. Oh, they were such a good boy. They were so loving. They never gave me a problem when I was raising them. They were so loving. They were so thoughtful. They were so caring. Even presented with the evidence that her son was a jerk, they still speak highly as if this was the best child in the world. Well, I can tell you, spending 25 years as a youth pastor in two different churches and talking to a lot of young people, I've heard a lot of children ridicule their parents. When moms talk about their kids, it's always in high words of praise. When kids talk about their moms, it's not always that same glowing, positive words that moms tend to use. Until a guy ends up in prison or something, right? He's in prison or he's in the hospital. Then you ask about his mom, then she's the saint. My mom never did anything wrong. You know, we need to be present for our moms. Do you know that when you were out late, your mom never fell asleep until you got home? Do you know that whenever she told you, or you told her, don't worry about me, you know what she did? She worried about you, right? Now, as they grow older, and they don't seem to us like they care as much as maybe they should, or they just don't seem like they have the time, or their minds are elsewhere. It's more on medicine and doctor's appointments. They want us to be there. They just want us to know that they care. My mom I'd call her at least twice a week, and then she would call me usually one other time a week. And often she would say, especially the last couple of years, she would say, I know you're 4 hours away. And I know you can't be here to take me to the doctor's appointment tomorrow. I know you can't be here for whatever she had coming up. But she said, knowing that you will be here if I need you is enough. Folks, we need to be there for our mom. Number five, be thankful. Be thankful. In working with young people and families for 31 years in ministry, I've grown in deep gratitude for parents. I've seen far too many kids being raised by grandparents. Or I just had a girl the other day at the teen center, in Wellsboro Teen Center, came up to me, and she's been coming out all year, and I've known her. Matter of fact, she was here with Herb. Her and her sister were here for the missions conference when Herb spoke about the teen center. And she said to me, Pastor Ron, she goes, I wasn't feeling well a couple weeks ago, so I went to the doctor, and they found I have infant, what is it, when the mother was a drunk, infant whatever it is. She's got whatever the disease is that her mom gave her from being an alcoholic when she was carrying her, something syndrome. And she was just talking about that, and I said, well, that means you can never, ever drink, right? And she goes, no. And I said, well, that's a good thing. You know, be careful with that. Don't ever do it. But as I talked to her, her mom's no longer in the picture. She's living with her grandparents. And she said, sometimes I hear from my mom twice a month. Sometimes I might go 2 or 3 months without hearing from her. Her mom lives down, I think, in Virginia. But wants nothing to do with her or her brother or her sister. But I asked this girl, I said, does that make you mad? She goes, well... She goes, I'm thankful for my grandparents. I'm thankful for my mom didn't abort me. That's a 15-year-old girl having that positive outlook. You know, if my mom did to me what her mom had done to her, I'd probably hate her. I would probably speak very evil of her. But this girl said, I'm thankful that she didn't abort me. I'm thankful for her. See, too many moms were drug addicts. Some of them have 8 or more kids. These are kids I've worked with, by 8 or more different men. And they didn't really love the kids. I want to tell you something. If you have a mom who loves you, if you have a mom who loves the Lord, if you have a mom who was always there for you, praise the Lord for her. If you're now a parent with children of your own, and whether your mom's still alive or not, you need to be thankful for her. It's been said that the best time in life for a mother is to have her own children and to have her own mom still alive. Imagine that is a powerful time, because a mom can still, no matter how old her children get, she can still look at her own mom and see, this is the example my mom has given me. If God in his wisdom has taken your mom home, be thankful for the memory. You probably all heard this story, but in a science class, elementary school, the teacher had spent several weeks talking about magnets. And they would do different things. They'd have a bunch of feathers and take the magnet over it and wouldn't obviously pick up the feathers. Bunch of paper clips would pick up the paper clips. Different products, hold it over water, the magnet didn't do anything. Hold it over little metal fragments or other pieces of metal, it would always attract it. So she spent a couple of weeks talking about magnets and demonstrating them in the science class. And then she gave a quiz. And she said on the quiz, she said, I have 6 letters. I begin with the letter M and I pick things up. What am I? 3/4 of the class wrote mother. Mother. 6 letters, begin with M, and I pick things up. They'd spent 2 weeks talking about magnets, but the one that picked things up in their mind was always there, was attractive, was mom. Tell your mom thank you. Let her know that you appreciate her. Be grateful, even if you have a mom like this girl at the teen center. God put this woman in your life for a reason. Even if she was the most ungodly woman, and folks, I can tell you, as a youth pastor, I've seen many, many, many ungodly men and women as parents. But be thankful for the one that God gave you. Number 6, be gracious. Be gracious. I don't know if you've ever stopped to consider all that moms do for us. She clears her schedule for you so she can take you where you need to go. She picks you up. She'll go to your ball game. She attends your recitals. And I'm just so thankful for the wife that I have who is a mother to my children, because my wife would go and watch recitals, and we would both go. But As a man, I had a hard time being positive after some of those recitals. You know what I'm talking about? But my wife was always so encouraging and so loving, and I tried to learn that and tried to, yes, I really love sitting through that long song you played. That was great. Moms were so good with that. They didn't complain. Someone had on Facebook over probably a month or so ago, things that moms really want. And one of them said, I really did want that last piece of pie, but I didn't take it because I knew you wanted it. She really does want some of the things that she makes sacrifices for, but she loves you. If we try to pay mom back for all the things that she does, driving around, we try to financially reimburse her, we couldn't do that. But part of being gracious is being respectful. Now, I don't know that this term is around much anymore, but when I did my helped with my stepfather's funeral, my stepfather died 5 weeks after my mom in January, so I took part in his funeral. And his son was there, and his son was kind of had gone through some difficult times, real rebellious, and we don't think he knows the Lord. But I said to Jim, I said, Jim, I don't know if you ever did this, but I said, I hope he never called Art your old man. And I think he did. But I said, I respected my stepfather and my real father too much to ever do that. And when my friends would call their dad old man or their mom's old lady, oh, that just drove me nuts. I hated that. Don't ever call her anything but mom, or if you have a pet name for her. Don't mock her when your friends mock their parents. Don't ridicule her. Don't shout at her. Don't raise your voice to her. Be gracious. Be respectful. Someone wrote a poem called Love in the Home. I think this is very fitting for moms. It says, if I were in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have not love, I'm a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not time for love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Is that true? I don't know if love really smiles at that. Not from a father's perspective, maybe from a mom's. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. And I love that. Wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. That's another painful time. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there is much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all these is love. That's the mom's perspective. Your mom loves you. Be gracious to her. And our final one is honor her. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged. I want you to understand, folks, and I have this in your notes, this is not a nice idea. It's not a suggestion, but it's a binding obligation for us from the moment we're born until our mom or us are in the grave. And it's the only one of the Ten Commandments with a built-in promise, a built-in provision, that if you do this, then you will have this. God says, if you honor your father and your mother. And that's taking all the things in that we've looked at, telling her, touching her, being patient with her. If we do all those things, we have this promise. When I was youth pastor down in Reading, I was started there, and since then I've loved working with older people. But part of my assignment, I was able to drive the church. I had my bus license, so I was able to drive. We had five buses, and I was able to drive the church buses. We also had a 15, 18-passenger van, so I would drive the ladies many times, the Women's Missionary Society. If they had a conference they needed to go to, I would take them. And we had two sisters, Hazel and Frida. Hazel was 91, Frida was 87, and they lived in the high-rise in Reading. Hazel lived on the 10th floor. Frida lived, the younger one, lived on like the 6th floor. And I would call them before I leave the church, and Hazel walked every step. She never took the elevator. Never took the elevator. And she was about this big, so when she'd come out, I'd have to get the step down so she could step up into the bus or the van. And I remember asking them one time, I said, ladies, sisters, what do you attribute this long life? And I expected some, you know, eating prunes or, you know, eating some grain or, you know, this type of food that they ate. And they said, well, we believe the verse that said, honor your father and your mother, and you'll be given long life. And God has blessed us. Honoring is doing all these things. Gratitude. Express to her your love and your appreciation. And let me tell you, don't just do it on Mother's Day. All right, love her every day. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, just for even this time together this morning as we talked about moms. I thank you for my mom and for what she meant to me and the prayer warrior that she was. Lord, I remember saying at her funeral that I needed someone to take that place to step in the gap, fill the gap of a prayer warrior. And Lord, for those of us who had a mom who prayed for us, a mom who loved us, a mom who stayed in the family, who didn't walk away, who chose life over the convenience of abortion, a mom who cared for us, a mom who nurtured us, a mom who would correct us when we needed it. We're so grateful for that today. Lord, help us to love our moms. And Lord, if we've lost our mom, Lord, help us just to appreciate even more the sacrifices they made for us. We honor moms today, and we love them in Jesus' name. Amen. As Russ comes to lead us in our closing song, don't forget, ladies, to pick up it's a geranium or a pansy. I'm not sure what it is, but it's out there on the table, okay? So pick one of those up.
Let's all stand and sing the first verse of Now Thank We Are All Our God.